With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
All right, guys, happy to join you midweek. We got a special drill down episode today. We're going to be talking a lot about Esteban Florial. Joining me is Matt Cardos. You can find him on Twitter at Matt Cardos. He's the assistant managing editor for Pinstripe Prospects and also the beat writer covering the AA Somerset, the new AA Somerset Patriots for the New York Yankees farm system. Matt, man, welcome. Welcome.
Yeah, it's good to connect finally, man. I feel like we've been connected forever, but haven't actually spoken live. So I appreciate you thinking of me in breaking down Florial.
Yeah, definitely. I know we've both been around the block covering the Yankees for a long time, and for whatever reason, just hasn't lined up that we've had this conversation. So a long time in the making. Glad to have you on. And yeah, we're trying to do these midweek episodes where we talk a lot more specific about a particular topic. And I think that in the Yankees fans' mind, one of the biggest things that we're all looking at from the major league level is what in the hell is happening with the outfield? The outfield, which you could look at as a potential strength. People were excited walking in with Clint Frazier being the starting left fielder. You know, there was a lot of excitement him turning a corner in 2020. Obviously, Aaron Hicks with the long-term contract. We know the injury history there. And then the big man, Aaron Judge and Wright. That being said, Esteban Florial is a guy that we have been hearing about for a very long time since he was 17 years old. It seems like he's been in low A for forever. That's where he had been for probably the majority of his career and where he's had the most success. But he's definitely rising the ranks at this point. We're starting to see him inch closer to what could be a major league roster. He's on the 40 man. And now with Aaron Hicks going down with this wrist sheath injury, you know, it could be something small. It could be something that takes him out with surgery for the year. They might be looking for a new center fielder. So we're going to talk a lot about Esteban Florial. You're covering the Somerset Patriots. So that's where he's gotten his most at-bats. Now he's in Scranton, but definitely want to hear all that you have to say about Esteban Florial. And I guess we could start with this year and then kind of backtrack to the history of the player.
Yeah, he's definitely, this is obviously my first time seeing him live other than he had a cup of coffee with the then AA affiliate in Trenton back in, I believe that was 2017. And he had come up for the playoffs when the Tampa season had ended to join Trenton and help them for their playoff run. And so he had, I think, one game where he actually had at-bats and he got his first hit at the AA level there. Obviously, that doesn't go in the record books or anything. So it doesn't really look like he ever made the AA level prior to this year, but technically he did. But at that point, you're probably thinking like, oh, well, this guy's definitely ticketed to open at AA the following year. More than likely, he had spent that full year in high A. And so when he didn't open the year at AA in 2018, it kind of raised a little bit of a flag. Like, what the hell's going on with this guy? It seemed like he was ready. They had enough confidence to bring him up then. Why not now? And it just feels like since that point, his stock, I think in the system and probably in the eyes of a lot of outsiders has really gone down. At one point, he was probably the number one overall prospect in the system. Now he's a borderline top 10 guy, depending on who you talk to. So he's definitely has a long way to go to rebuild that stock and probably the way that a lot of people on the outside view him. But just seeing him now for at least, he's promoted obviously now to AAA. So unfortunately, I didn't get to see him as long as I had anticipated being able to get to see him in the early part of this year. But that first week that I saw him, he's an electric player. I think that's the first word I would use to describe him. Without even looking at any of the numbers, any of the stats that he puts up, just his presence on the he's bigger than a lot of other guys. He definitely stands out on the field. He just looks the part of like an electric, athletic build. And if you were just to line all the guys up, he'd be the guy that you picked out that you'd probably say, oh, this guy's probably the best player on the team without having ever seen any of them play. So he has the look for sure. And he leads off the season with a home run in Somerset. And you're like, holy shit. Like, is it finally all clicking now for this guy? So at that point, the guy leads off the season with a home run. And then all his at-bats from that point on become, I have to be in my seat to watch this guy come to bat. I could get up for a beer when the second guy in the order comes up, but I need to be in my seat for when Florial's coming up to bat. And he's electric. The problem is that there's still holes in the swing. And he's got good pop, good gap power. I think he has 10 hits on the year between AA and now AAA, and 8 of them are for extra base hits. So like when he hits it, it's going to the gap, it's going to the corner, it's going over the wall. The electricity in the bat, the juice, it's there. But I still think he has a long way to go until you'd be comfortable putting him in an everyday role in the big leagues. Granted, there's a need there right now, like with all the injuries that you explained at the major league level, and the depth at AAA isn't all that impressive either. So when you're talking about guys that are probably the next best guy up, he probably is that next guy up, just given what's left available. But I think in an ideal world, if everyone was healthy, Hicks is healthy, Frazier's performing, all that stuff equated, I think you want to keep Florial down there for a good chunk of time to continue working on what he needs to work on so that when you bring him up, he's there to stay. But my first overall impressions are he is a little bit more polished than I thought he would be, given that he's been in the system now for, what, 6 or 7 years, and this is his first time starting at a upper-level affiliate. So you're going in thinking, man,
2015, he was 17, right. 17 years old in 2015 was his first season.
And here we are in 2021 and he's just cracking AA for the first time and now obviously moved on to AAA. So there's obviously like a 6 or 7 season body of work that doesn't necessarily align with the first 11 games that he's put up. But even if you look at that, those numbers that he's put up in these first 11 or 12 games of the season, he's only hitting .208. His on base is like .280. So like he's got the power numbers. Everybody sees the viral videos of the long home runs and the triple and the double that he's hit. Everybody sees those videos. And I think it's more of a case of the major league outfield production has been so putrid that the Yankees just want anybody. And he's a name that they've heard for a long time. They see the home runs on Twitter. They see them on YouTube. And they're like, oh, well, this guy plays center field. We need a center fielder. He's hitting home runs. He can't be any worse than what we have up there now. And so I put this on Twitter the other day, but I've covered a lot of guys that have come up through the system. Gleyber Torres, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, Luis Severino, all these guys that are up in the big leagues now that are contributing. And I don't think I've had my mentions blow up as much as I've had Florial for people that want him up at the big leagues now, like immediately. They want him now. And I haven't seen that type of momentum behind a prospect in a long time. So I found that kind of interesting that 5 or 6 games into a season, I had so many people wanting this guy at the big league level.
Well, it's funny, the Yankee fan is an interesting specimen, because when they're hurt, when there's nobody performing on the major league level, or there's a potential to look down below to see what else is there. The grass is always greener when you look down and you see a prospect that's, you know, having some success, and you're seeing some of these highlights like you're talking about. So I think that's a big part of it. I mean, Frazier in left is just, I think he, going into last night or maybe after last night, was labeled and identified actually as the worst outfield batter in the American League. Like the worst, I think dead last. He's been that bad. He's improved his defense. That's played out, I think, this year still. He's made some great Superman catches. He does that. He looks good when he does it. But that's a big deal when you see that there's guys that are not performing, and that's not even Florial's position, but what it does is it affects what's happening in the rest of the outfield. Gardner's not hitting. Hicks, when it was healthy, wasn't hitting, especially from the left side. He was just essentially an easy out. So you got Aaron Judge, who has been one of their more consistent players, and the rest of the outfield has just left the Yankee fan yearning. And when you see Florial out there actually healthy, that's the biggest thing. Like, to me, that's one of the biggest excitement points for me for seeing Florial out there, is that he's out there. I mean, this guy has been, you know, riddled with injury. 2018, the hamate surgery, which is a bone in the hand. 19, broken wrist. That was we had an event that game in Tampa. So we had about 150 of us up at the bullpen club watching Esteban Florial break his wrist, unfortunately. And then 2020 with the pandemic, you know, it's a season that you can either throw out or conveniently accept if it's good news, depending on, you know, what numbers you're looking at. But for him, it was a year of growth that was stunted almost for game action. So seeing him active in AA, the fact that they got him up to AAA as fast as they did, I like that. I'm glad that they're doing it. They basically have to push him at this point because there's a need. And especially if Hicks is out for the season, there's an absolute need in center field.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's going to be the depending factor of how quickly you see him up there. I think you bring up Lamar, who I actually forgot the Yankees even signed until the minor league season started. But I mean, he's an easy enough guy to call up in a pinch, and you could live with him up there for, he has some versatility, so he could move between all three spots. But I think that's like a very short-term plug-and-play guy, to where if Hicks is going to miss months or is going to need surgery, like, Lamar's not it. That's not the guy that you want up there. And so I think he's up there at this point until they figure out long-term what the deal with Hicks is going to be. But then at that point, he's a guy that you're easy enough to be comfortable with DFAing, and you figure out the 40-man moving right on from there. But no sweat taking him off the 40-man and losing him, because guys like him come a dime a dozen. So I think that's going to be the determining factor, is if Hicks is going to be out long-term, you obviously plug Florial right into that spot, and he probably doesn't miss a beat. It might be just as good as Hicks, or probably maybe not even, might even be a little bit better than Hicks defensively. I mean, the guy is a wizard. Didn't get to see him that much, obviously only the 6 games, but everything you hear, I mean, the guy's a stud defensively. So you're not going to lose anything defensively. And worst comes to worst, the way I look at it is, what I've seen, the guy still has holes in his swing. He's striking out this year 30% of his at-bats. His career average is 32% of his at-bats he fans in. So he's going to strike out a lot, at least right now, until he maybe nails down his plate discipline a little bit. He did say he's working on that, and I know the Yankees have kind of put an emphasis on him trying to take walks a little bit more. But I think you live with it. Even if he's going to go up there and hit 210 or 220, that's what you're getting out of it now anyway. So as long as you get the defense from him, I think you live with it. But I think I think what happens with Hicks moving forward is really going to determine how fast you see him come. But he is, man. He has the goods. He has the tools. It's just it's easy to see why the Yankees haven't given up on him and why 3, 4, 5 bad seasons they've still stuck with him, and there's still a really high ceiling in there. And it's interesting the point that you brought up about the injury issues, and a lot of those are fluke injuries, like you said, the hammy, the hand, the wrist, all that stuff.
They are.
Those are fluke injuries. It's not like the guy has a history of like breaking bone, pulling his hammy. Like he doesn't have that long injury history where you're worried about like the work that
there's
no soft tissue injuries.
Yeah,
sure. So that I wouldn't worry too much about the injuries, but in the grand scheme of things, his time in the system has been stunted by that lost time. There's no questioning. There's no doubt about that. So you look at his age and he's 23 and you're like, well, shit, this guy should have been here 2 years ago if he was the goods, but he lost so much time. And one of the things I was so curious about going into this season was what the Yankees organizational philosophy was going to be with aggressiveness and promotions and moving guys, because you have to factor in their age, where they should be at this point, and then kind of align that up with the year of lost development from last year. So like some guys went to the alt site. We didn't have eyes on the alt site. We don't know what a lot of guys did. The Yankees have internal eyes there. They know what those guys did. They were playing good competition, guys that were up and down from the major leagues on an everyday basis, and guys that were consistent AAA performers. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Florial led the alt site in homers. I think he had 14 homers at the alt site last year. Granted, I don't know who those home runs came against, what those situations were, but the information I know, he led the alt site in homers last year. But the Yankees obviously have a little bit more information on him than the general media has, because we weren't there. I don't know what he did. So I think you have to just wonder, do the Yankees almost see his time at the alt site as a year of development that he would have gotten at the AA or AAA level? Or was it just another, this is just practice for the guy? I don't know how they view it, but it seems in the way that they've didn't really hesitate to promote him from AA after only 6 or 7 games.
Right.
There was really no hesitancy to move him to AAA. Obviously, it lines up him being on the 40-man. He's the natural guy to get the call sooner than later. But it's just been interesting to see not even just Florial, but all these high-end prospects in general who are now just sniffing the upper levels for the first time. Like, what's the level of aggressiveness moving forward? What did the alt site in 2020, like, what did that do for them? Did it do anything? And will they be a little bit more aggressive to kind of get them at the level that their age should probably align with? It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that, to be honest. Talking about some of the success or non-success at the alt site and actually using that, because they're not in the books, right? You're not gonna find that on any of the sites that are collecting stats. So it feels like a missed year, but you're right. There was good competition there. If they were able to level up the intensity of that competition and really get those game atmospheres within, I don't know how that translates into, you know, more of like a scrimmage or like, you know, what a scout looks at that and how they see it differently. But the fact that he led the alt site in home runs is interesting. I remember I had, this was, I think 2018, I had Ben Badler on talk from Baseball America talking about, this was when Florial was in the summer league, I think the year, so, or fall league, I'm sorry. He was in 2017, he was in the fall league. It was just after that, I believe. And Badler was talking about his plate discipline. Like that's been the knock on Florial, I think, for a long time, right? Is that plate discipline. And what's interesting about plate discipline for me, when I'm looking at a young player that has, you know, over aggressiveness at the plate, not recognizing pitches, not being able to take those walks, like you're saying, that is a rep maturity development that usually happens over time as they get more at bats, as they see more competition, as they see more pitches. And that is something that you like to, that's a key moment where you're looking at the development of a player over time. Are they making the adjustments because they've seen these pitches? And that's where Florial is right now. I think we're he's at a AA now, AAA. Has he seen enough pitches where he can actually take that next step to really have more of a plate discipline, which he's going to absolutely need in the majors? Being able to lay off those outside, those outside curveballs, like it's when Judge came up, when Sanchez came up, I mean, they were just flailing. they made the adjustment when they made, when they got to that level, or at least Judge did. And then you start to see that development. So I'm very curious to see how Floreal is developing now that he's at these higher levels. And I think they, I think you're right. I think they're pushing him more now because a little bit of prospect fatigue, right? I mean, the guy's been around for forever, it seems. It's like, show up or don't. You're 23 years old now. We gotta see it.
Sure. And given the situation, I think I pointed this out when we first opened, but I think the injuries have kind of forced their hand a little bit more than they probably thought they would have to in the first month and a half of the major league season. I don't think they planned on having to rely on what's Estevan Floreal doing in mid-May. Like, we need him. I don't think they thought that they would get to this point this soon, but that's the reality that they're looking at right now. So I think the eyes are going to be on him more and more as each day goes on, given just the injuries that they're facing. And even that AAA team is battered with injuries where they've gutted the Somerset roster. They've taken their five or six best offensive players in the last 4 or 5 days to where Somerset's just plugging and playing guys that were in complex leagues to fill out a roster because AAA is so rattled with injuries. So the fact that Floreal now and the guy Zach Zahner, he's been in the system for a while. He's back up in AAA, and they just brought up Thomas.
He's been around for a while.
Yeah, he's been around for what feels like forever. And he's another guy who you could probably bring him up, but like, I don't think you're comfortable playing Zach Zahner for 3 or 4 months at the major league level. He might be a guy that's similar to a Lamar situation where if you needed him for a week or two, plug and play, cool, we could rock with that. But if you're going to call up a guy long term, I think Floreal is the obvious option. But you, like you said, the guy's lost so much time with injuries and development and stuff. Like, he's 23 and he should be there now, but he's really only at a AA level in terms of development. So if you bring him up, you have to be comfortable with the fact that he's playing and learning and developing at the same time. Like, there's going to be that balance where he might strike out 35 or 40% of the time, but that short porch and right, you take the 2 or 3 homers he might give you in the first couple weeks that he plays that you're not getting right now. So there's obvious talent. There's juice in that bat. The guy can play. He's going to hit a mistake. There's no doubt about it. He's good enough to do that. But he's, like you said, he's still learning, and he's definitely has holes in the swing, but I like what I saw from him in the very short time that I did. And I think the Yankees really wouldn't miss a beat compared to what they're getting now if they had to rely on him.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, take injuries even out of it. Aaron Hicks was an absolute hole on the left side. Absolute hole. Like, you might as well not even walk up with a bat. Like, he wasn't doing what he normally does. He wasn't taking pitches like he normally does. He was striking out a high clip. Like, he's just not good from the left side. And Floreal gives you that left-handed bat. All right. Beyond Floreal, Matt, what are, some other names that are potentially down here? There's a, you mentioned Lamar, you know, being added to the 40. I agree with you. I think he's an easy DFA, and that's why he was called up at this point. They can make a move without him, with him, and not really blink an eye. But you mentioned Zahner. Any other guys that we should be looking out for that either have made that jump up to Scranton to fill in some bodies, or, you know, are there any situations that we could look at where similar to how we had Loaisiga come up a few years ago, straight from AA? Any names we should be watching out for as the season goes on?
Yeah, and I think the two obvious names that would have come up in lieu of Lamar, like, I don't think Lamar was the first guy, but in the last 7 or 8 days, Scranton has put a guy like Trey Ambergay on the field, on the IL. With an injury, I think he probably would have been the guy to get the call. He's been an all-star level player in the minor leagues. He's been in the system for a while. Double-digit homer, like, good for 60, 70 RBIs at the minor league level a year. Good pop, could play both corners. I think he probably would have been the guy that got the first call. He goes on the IL the day before Floreal goes up to AAA. And then Greg Allen, a guy that the Yankees picked up in the offseason, he's now on the IL. He probably would have went up before Lamar as well. So there's guys in that AAA depth group that are probably more suited to be up there than Lamar, but Lamar is the only one that's healthy at this point. So, but I don't think either of those injuries to Ambergay or Allen are viewed as serious or long-term. So if they end up DFAing Lamar at some point and they need another body for a shorter period of time and don't want to call up Floreal, then I would think those two guys probably get the call next up. But in terms of just like long term, like this guy's a prospect, like watch him. That guy's not really there at double A or triple A at the moment in terms of outfield depth.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
More of that depth, I think, that you could like rely on at the major league level is like on the pitching side. Like you could call up a couple guys that are in this Somerset bullpen or in that Scranton bullpen and they could pitch at the big league level and not miss a beat, and you really wouldn't miss a beat, particularly out of the bullpen. But a lot of the depth in the system now is in the lower levels, both on the starting pitching side and position player wise. So a lot of this upper level depth really is, it's either in the bullpen or it's just like guys that are plug and play. Chris Gittens in AAA has a guy that has a lot of power, plays first base, not a guy that's going to help you in the outfield, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see him at some point come up because of an injury. He's probably the most polished and ready to help contribute at the major league level in whatever capacity you need him to, whether it's DH or plug and play at first base. He's definitely probably the most polished bat that's up there right now that you guys haven't seen.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all gone through a lot over the past year plus with COVID. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area, and it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see for yourself. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. We have a great special offer for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. One more time, BetterHelp.com/Bronx21.
There's a number of right-handed power pitchers I think that the Yankees have had that they've gotten through the international pool and just coming up the Medinas of the world. It seems like there's a number of fireballers coming in that are right-handed pitchers that either could slot in as a bullpen or if they can gather their control and actually find the plate, potentially a starting spot as well. But like you said, they're a little bit further away. So I think when in 2022, we might have some competition for that bullpen a little bit more. And then even for the back end of that rotation, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a couple of these guys start to make some noise after this year. So Matt, really appreciate this, man. This was a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm excited. I hope that, look, if Hicks is out for the year, if he had surgery, I fully expect Floria will be up at some point in June. You know, you're right. I think they may have another guy slot in or out in between them. But once he gets some at-bats underneath him in AAA, I would not be surprised if he was called up sooner than later to give him an extended period of time. So really appreciate the insight, man. And yeah, hope all is well. How do you like Somerset? How's Somerset compared to Trenton? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, it's a state-of-the-art facility. It's a little bit newer in terms of facility than Trenton is, and they're doing a ton of renovations. They're building an external like batting tunnels and a whole workout area and video area. So they've completely redone the bullpen. Now has a roof over it, like a AAA or major league caliber type bullpen would. So they're just doing a ton. They've put LED lighting in and all these minor league stadiums now have to meet a certain standard after the realignment. So there's a deadline for all these improvements to be made. And Somerset seems like they're blowing through them in lightning speed. I know the guy's got a new clubhouse and a kitchen type room that I haven't been able to see because we're not allowed in the clubhouse or anything anymore. All access is done through Zoom at this point. So I haven't actually been able to get in the clubhouse and check any of that stuff out. But I know the players have been super impressed with it. But yeah, the staff over in Somerset is first class, top notch. Pretty much everybody that works in that organization, like the Somerset Patriots became an independent affiliate back in, I believe, 98. And a majority of the staff is still there from day one. A lot of times in minor league baseball, you get a lot of turnover. People that are seasonal or they come and go a year or two after they get there. Like everybody that's there in Somerset essentially has been there for like anywhere from 18 to 20 years. So they're eager to show that they belong in affiliated ball and to just impress. And to now that they have that Yankees name associated with them, they're eager to show that.
That's awesome. I know it's easier to get to. That's
yeah, sure. Much. I live about 10 minutes from the stadium, so it's a lot easier for me logistically to get there than the 45-minute to an hour drive to Trenton for me. So logistically, it's that's been the biggest improvement for me personally.
Awesome. All right, man. Appreciate it, Matt. Guys, if you want to follow Matt, keep up on the Somerset Patriots. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Cardos and all of the guys at Pinstripe Prospects. They've been doing it a long time. They do a fantastic job covering the minor league. So yeah, kudos to you and the guys on the site. And yeah, man, let's talk again this season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely would love to come back on and see where we're at with 4EL in a couple months.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.